I told you that shit.
Hello?
Okay, okay, okay. What's going on out there? How you guys doing tonight? If you are listening, once again, I want to introduce everybody who's new to the phone, who's new to us. This is Blog Talk Radio. We are on Pregame Radio, and this is the S&M Show. And, of course, as always, on the switchboard, my name is Mr. Haynes. And do I have my lovely co-host, Miss Lady Steele? Are you there?
I'm in the building.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good tonight. Relax and sip in, ready to get this show started.
Really? What are you sipping on tonight?
My signature, vodka.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you know, once again, as always, if you are new to the S&M show, well, what we like to do is we like to talk about, you know, some sexy and some mature things that people need to hear about. And we like to get it from a lot of different perspectives. Now, if you are new, this is a very, very raw show. And we like to talk about any and everything sexual-related, things of that nature, relationship-related. So there is no real subject that's too taboo. Now, I want to let Lady Steele get into it first, you know, tell everybody what you've been up to lately, what's going on in your world, and then we'll get into everything for tonight.
Of course. As always, you're tuned in live with Mr. Haynes and Lady Steele on the S&M Show. We had a good show last week on interracial relationships and I guess all the taboos that may or may not come from that. Found out a lot of black men love Spanish women but can't seem to understand why. So it was eye-opening, but not quite. Also, I'm proud to say that I have a really big event that's going down. If you are in New York City or the tri-state area and you could get to New York City on Saturday, I'll be having a film screening at Murray Bar on 34th Street. We'll have live performances. We'll be giving away bottles from SX Tequila, Bel Air Rosé, as well as exclusive vodka. And Platinum E Hookah will be in the building, so definitely come down and have some fun. Grand Pooba will be there, Rock Logic, a few old school cats. We're going to be screening a documentary by Rock Logic. He wrote that song, Shake What Your Mama Gave You. It's going to be a lot of old school people in the building, so definitely come down and check me out. I'll be on the scene. And I hope you make it out too.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to try to make my way out there for that. That's pretty big. Now, as always, every week we've been trying to add new wrinkles to our show, and we've been bringing in guest hosts. And I would like you to introduce tonight's guest host, and let's get a background on that, on the guest host for tonight, so that the audience can know who is going to be on with us tonight, and then we're going to get into the topic. So before I even let this person speak, I want you to introduce this person to us.
Well, tonight we are bringing actually a guest that we had on the S&M show back. She did so well, and a lot of people loved what she had to say. We had to bring her back. So we have Anna Lorien. She's going to be on with us. She is a professional dating coach, matchmaker. She's the person that you go to, a female hitch, if you will. So she's going to be chopping it up with us, kind of giving us a few more pointers in that arena, and also chiming in on the topic that we have at hand tonight, which is polygamy, polyamory, and polyandry.
Mm. Well, let's introduce your host for tonight, and then let's get into things and let her speak first.
Ah, do we have her already? Anna Lorien, professional matchmaker.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Hey, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah, I started out actually as an intimacy coach. So I help people in their relationships that had maybe hit a plateau. I help them kind of put the intimacy and the back in their relationship. So I can chime in on polyamory. I've helped quite a few people in open relationships and polyamorous relationships.
Now, did they come to you? Because that's interesting that people would actually go to a relationship coach or intimacy coach. Like, are they going to you as far as, like, finding out how to get into the lifestyle or dealing with being in the lifestyle?
It's a little bit of both. A lot of people come in because, obviously, they don't feel that monogamy is right for them, and they want to start off in a polyamorous relationship in the right fashion. Not so much. It's a different mindset when you go from being primarily monogamous and then go to being, you know, polyamorous. So it takes a paradigm shift, so to speak.
All right, so let's, you know, for those that are listening and are not quite clear, let's break it down. We have polyamory, which is the practice, desire, or acceptance of having more than one intimate relationship at a time with the knowledge and consent of everyone involved. Then we have polyandry, which we don't really hear much about, but it's the form of polygamy whereby the woman takes two or more husbands at the same time. And then we have polygamy, where the man is married to more than one wife at the same time.
Now, before we really start getting into this, because I can see this is going to be a topic, all of these topics are going to definitely steer off in a lot of different things. Anybody out there, if you want to chime in, if you're listening online and you're not on the line and you want to chime in on any of these topics, please feel free to give us a call on 347-857-4302. The number again is 347-857-4302, and hit 1 so that I can make sure that I get you in, because I already see people want to chime in on this topic already. But let's get into it. So start us off.
All right, well, for the most part, many guys are down with the idea of polygamy. You know, everybody wants a harem, and the women seem kind of hesitant. So what I want to know basically is, does a guy really think that he can please more than one woman at the same time, like, you know, sexually and financially? Like, can you support more than one wife? Is that really, like, ideal? And are there women that are, you know, cool with the idea? And is a requirement of a, you know, of a relationship like that, do all the wives have to sleep together, or is it on a schedule? Like, how would this work?
It's different for it's kind of different for everyone, I think. Every couple that I've kind of, well, not couple, but every, I don't know what to call them.
Every grouping?
I guess, yeah, every group. Yeah, every group, they do it a different way. Some of the wives do become girlfriends with the husband's girlfriend, if that makes sense. And some don't. Like, it's the husband has a separate relationship with his girlfriend, with his wife, with, you know, he has a separate relationship with everyone, but everyone knows about everything. So if he wants to go on a date with Susie and he lets his wife know, or Susie and his wife will actually set up the date and let him know. So it's different for every couple. And most of them don't, like, all sleep in the same bed.
I don't think there's a bed big enough unless your floor is just a mattress or something, a never-ending mattress.
I mean, not the same bed, but they don't, like, all sleep together. It's not a swinging or an orgy-type situation. It's really, really what it is I have a relationship with you. You fulfill a need that maybe my wife doesn't fulfill. So that creates an intimacy between him and his girlfriend. And then the wife may have a boyfriend who fulfills a requirement that her husband don't. The boyfriend and the husband, they become friends. They know about everything. Everything is out in the open.
My thing is, with this whole booming trend of having side chicks and side dudes, why not just call it a day and have this lifestyle?
Because of the stigma attached to it. I mean, I know here, I'm in Mississippi, it's totally frowned upon in the Bible Belt. And that kind of permeates through the entire country, it's, unless you get on the West Coast, and then people are kind of a little bit more free. But I see it permeate through a lot of the country where people, they really don't like criticism. They don't like confrontation, so they'll rather live their little vanilla lives and sneak on the side rather than go ahead and be out in the open and say, hey, I really have feelings for this person. I want you to meet her.
Now, do you think that you would be able to exist in a relationship like that?
Oh, no. Hell no.
Well, why not? Hold on.
I understand
why
it.
Why not?
I understand it, but I like monogamy. I like having that one person that I go to and I sleep with. And, like, that's something that I enjoy. I find comfort in that.
Well, let me ask everybody, both of you ladies, this question about that. When you talk about guys that have side chicks, because that seems to be more common than girls having a side dude, why, if you know that he's doing this or you can have a suspicion that your man or your husband or your significant other, whatever you want to call him, if you have a feeling that they're doing this, why can't you just say, you know what, look, I know what's going on. I know what's happening. But as long as you don't bring me back anything, I'm not going to walk away from this because I have too much love for you. Why can't you just have that and be that way?
Because I think that it's the initial act of deception that kind of destroys that platform. Like, you started off by sneaking around instead of, like, sitting down one day and having that discussion or at least laying it out on the table.
Well, here's a better question about that. When you talk about polygamy and you're talking about a man having multiple wives, why can't a Cleopatra-type situation or any one of those women of power have where a woman has multiple husbands?
Yeah, we want to discuss
polyandry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now,
it's frowned upon in a lot of places, though.
Now, you being from the South, and you have your dynamics of what you guys do down there, obviously, you know, you guys always talk about having certain type of class or Southern hospitality or all these other things that you guys have in the South versus up here in the North and even out West. Why is it that, like, you don't think, like, class and all of that is always fine and dandy, but cheating is anything. Cheating is universal. So why is it that it's still so frowned upon, but yet everybody does cheat?
Because cheating is secret. You do it. Unless you're a
people
dickhead,
cheat,
not cheating on the open.
Cheat for
though,
a different
right?
reason. Yeah. I mean, if you were doing it out in the public or where everyone knew, is it really cheating?
Right. Like, you see, when Chris Brown was dating Karrueche and Rihanna at the same time, we don't know what kind of arrangement they had, but he was dogged out in the media.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, we want to still do this because I'm looking at this situation and I'm trying to understand a little bit better about it. When you're talking about being able to have multiple partners, don't you think if it wasn't so frowned upon, more relationships would last?
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't think that just because the option is there doesn't mean that everybody should engage. Because I don't think that most men could handle a situation like that. I think they want it, but they really don't have what it takes to be in it.
When we say polyamory, like, this is really an intimate relationship. It's not just purely physical. A lot of these people, they don't have sex a lot of times. You know, like, you would think it would be sex all the time. It's not like that in their household. Like, it's really an intimate relationship. This person means something to me. Like, I think it would last because a lot of people would be more open with their feelings about themselves and other people. But, okay. I mean, who's to really say?
Mr. Haynes, okay. You're married. Do you think that you would be able to hold down a home with more than one wife?
It depends on what aspect you're talking about. Because if you're talking financially, no, probably not. Unless you're Diddy and you got that kind of money where you can have multiple women in multiple states and multiple kids where it's nothing, it's a drop in the bucket if you're paying $1 million a year in child support or 1.5, if I'm correct, where he is, it's nothing. For your average guy, no, you can't. You can't afford it because then you forget about just paying bills for everybody. What about when it's time to do fun things? You got to spend money. That's why a lot of guys stop cheating. A lot of guys stop cheating because it becomes too expensive to do that. That's
not
what you want to do.
Going on a family date with the whole harem, I would imagine maybe everybody has designated days or something. I don't know.
I mean, it's funny dynamics. I mean, look at somebody like Akon. Akon is one of the few open men in this world that literally has three wives. But look at where he is, his money. So he can afford to have all of his wives and all of the money and everything that he has going on.
Like how many girls too?
Oh, exactly. He has three wives and many girlfriends.
But would you, okay, let's take the finance aspect away from it. Physically, do you think that you could keep up with multiple women at the same time, living in the same house, all of them being on the rag at the same time? Like,
yeah, because they do sync up. They do sync up when, you know, they're in the same home.
Not after a while. And then, once again, I would have to say no, because if they're both black women, hell no.
Oh, God, we're not going to turn it into that type
of
stuff.
Yeah, don't do that.
You guys want the truth. You want to get raw with it. We want to, listen.
You'll wake up with a white woman and she'll be to slit your throat and have you tied up.
Well, listen, if she slit my throat, then I ain't got nothing to worry about because I'm gone.
Starring on his own episode of Snapped.
Right.
I mean, hey, I might be, but at least I'm gone. I ain't got to worry about the nagging and the fighting. I'm gone. You can't hurt me no more.
All black women are not like that. Why do you group all of us together? Everyone's not like that, dog.
Hold on. I'm not saying that all black women are like that. I'm not. However, there's certain things that you have to look at. Like, if you think about stereotypes and you look at certain scenarios, I don't care who you are. If you are from the South or you are from the North, I'll give you a scenario and you can't tell me this isn't true. If you see a bunch of young dudes, pants half off their ass, loud, in the middle of the night, looking like they're ready to do something, and you're walking down the street by yourself wearing a nice outfit, are you or not, if they're young and black, are you not going to be more inclined to be more worried if they're going to try to snatch something from you, try to rape you, or one of them is going to try and stop and talk to you?
I worry about that if it's a group of white guys, like Latinos. It doesn't matter the race. I mean, if it's a group of young guys with their pants half off their ass, yeah, I am going to feel some kind of way, but it doesn't matter about their race. They can be Latino. They can be Asian. Like, I'm still going to feel some type of way because I'm one woman and it's a group of men.
Well, at the end of the day, all it goes back to is what you can handle and what you can't handle. And when you're looking at, can you handle having multiple women? I don't care. Like you said, if you don't want to talk race, let's get the race back out of it. If you don't want to bring that into it, you just want to have a conversation about, can you handle multiple women? Most men wish and say, yeah. And we're going to get to some callers soon. But people are going to say, yeah. But after some time, you can't sprint forever. So after some time, you're going to get tired. And if those two women want to have sex, but they don't want to have sex with each other, but they each want their time with you that same day, man, listen, if you ain't drinking a Red Bull, popping a Viagra, you're done. You're fucked.
It doesn't work that way. But you're thinking about it from a monogamous mindset. Like, it doesn't work that way in a polyamorous household. Even after time, it doesn't work that way.
Why won't it? What do you mean it doesn't work that way? Explain it to me why it doesn't. Because there are times when you're talking about that same thing. They're not always threesomes. You're not always having sex with all every one of your wives at the same time. There may be some times that one of your wives says, no, I would like one-on-one time with you at this time. And you're going to have to submit to that. You're going to have to say, okay. It's not
right,
always going to be, hey,
when,
group sex.
No, it's hardly ever group sex. That's what I said at the beginning. It's hardly ever group sex. It's more about, and, like, they go on dates by themselves. Like, it's the husband and the girlfriend, not the husband, the girlfriend, and the wife. The wife knows about it. The wife may have helped set up the date, but the wife is not on the actual relationship. That relationship that the husband has with the wife is something that is totally different from the relationship that he has with his girlfriend. So they spend those times differently.
Mm. Okay.
Like it's totally open. It's not where one person feels some kind of way about the other one going out, because when that husband first started saying, felt like he had feelings for, let's say his name is Tom and her name is Casey, he started having feelings for Leah, who works with him or who he sees every day at the store, then he's going to come to his wife and say, you know what, I met a girl named Leah, and I think she's really cool. I'm kind of digging her. I want to go on a date. And his wife can say, yes, that's fine, or she'll be like, I want to meet her. But a lot of the time, like, in communication like that, they don't try to stop the feelings that one may have for another. It's not, it's purely open. It's not jealous at all.
All right. Now, you said that you've dealt with these type of things when, you know, in relationships where you've dealt with a man with multiple women. Am I correct? And they know about each other and everybody's together. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the number one thing or complaint that you find or thing that you see is the biggest problem in those relationships?
In polyamorous relationships where the man has more than one girlfriend? I would say the only problem I would see with a polyamorous relationship, honestly, and this goes with the whether the woman wants to have more than one boyfriend, transition from a monogamous mindset to a polyamorous one, where you don't, you know, you don't feel jealousy. Everything is open, and you create a safe space for your mate to communicate with you openly and truthfully, honestly. That's the hardest thing, because a lot of people sneak around and they don't even really realize that they're sneaking. Like, they've been doing it so long that it's like they just keep doing it. They don't even realize it.
Okay.
So going from that to,
Okay. Well, let's get to some of the callers out there. Let's see what some of the people out there are asking about. Caller 917-309. You are on the air with the S&M show.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Caller, where are you calling? What's your name and where are you calling from?
OD, calling from Charlotte.
Okay, how you doing, OD? So talk to
me, man.
Thank you. I got another man on this phone, man. I got another man on this line. What do you think about this?
James Brown said you pay the cost to be the boss, man. It's a lot of dudes that think that they can handle this, but they can't really handle this, man. This is, you know, the polyamory is not the same as having a side chick. You know, when you have a side chick, there's a hierarchy. There's position involved. If you got more than, if you are in love with more than one person, that's a lot of emotional energy, man. Before you even get to your wallet, that's a lot of emotional energy, man. I got caught up in something like that. And it's a two-wife shit. It's not something, if you're in a regular mind state and you're not built for that, if that's not your custom, like the Mormons, they built for that. That's in their culture. You know, you talk about Cleopatra. She didn't have more than one husband. Well, Caesar died, and then she ended up with Mark Antony. But even then, she's a seductress. She doesn't really belong to them. She makes herself what they want, and she gets power by that. So it's not polyamory. It's not the same thing. But when these people have it in their custom, the women are conditioned to that way of life already. It's not the same as you trying to have two women break Judeo-Christian monogamy to a new lifestyle. Totally different. And it's not an easy thing, man. It's a lot of stress.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of people don't talk about polyandry, and that's basically what you were referencing, or I guess referencing against, you know, the art of having more than one man or husband.
Yeah.
As a man, could you see yourself being open-minded enough to entertain being with a female that had other guys? Like, basically, your job is to bring home the bacon, and her job is to stay home, get fucked, pop out babies.
That's like a cuckold almost. I mean, it's like, again, that's not an easy thing to imagine, man, to go through somebody plowing your wife. But then again, that's the monogamous mind state. I mean, it's a different animal. Could I do that? Probably not, man. I can't lie to you. When you dating, well, when I was dating, I always assumed the girl had somebody else because I don't put women on a pedestal, and I don't assume anything about them that I couldn't do. So if I'm talking to more than one person, I will assume that you are too, or you have at least the capability to. So I'm not going to be, you know, it ain't rainbows and unicorns. So on that level, you expect it, you protect yourself, and you hope she ain't, but you always, you know, in the back of your head, like, well, I don't see it all the time. I can't necessarily vouch for it. I hope so, but, you know, that is what it is. Again, a lot of people think that they, just because you freaking off every once in a while with some woman on the side, that don't mean you're ready for this, man. And especially a friend of mine, right? 2 degrees, getting butter, right? But the guy had 3 girlfriends. He never had any fucking money because he was dating 3 times. A movie come out, you watching every romantic comedy 3 times. Shit, that's fuck. You and her is $30 before you even eat any popcorn. That's three. That's $100. You talking $300 for one movie. You know, so that. Fiscally is not an easy thing, mentally, emotionally. And let me tell you something, when I was a young savage, right, I was living with this girl. We was having sex every night. I had shaft wounds every fucking week. You can't do that shit all the time. You can't. I mean, the relationship is not like that. When you're talking polyamory, it's, you know, just like you married, man, you know you're not getting butter every night. You're not. Nobody married it. That shit is cute for like the first few weeks or a few months or even the first couple of years, but after a while you settle into that shit. You're not getting it every day.
I would entertain being in a polyamorous or polygamy, I should say. I would entertain it.
Yeah, but if you were, first of all, you got to be strong because you got to be a strong nigga to hold that down. Then he got to hold you down financially. You're not going to submit to that unless he's taking care of you. Yes?
You definitely have
Right. So when you start looking at the available marketplace, right, it's a bunch of niggas out there that care. And see, this is what's dangerous about it, right, is that it ain't really a lot of real niggas out there, right? So sooner or later, the balance is going to tip so far in the opposite direction that women going to have to have more, two women going to have women. Because it's a whole country full of niggas that want to play PlayStation and live up under some bitch.
Or want to wear skirts.
Yeah, they don't want to be men. They don't know how to be men. They don't have men in their life. So it's going to get to the point where it's not even enough real men to hold a household down. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be safe with some dress-wearing dude.
I'm
not going to feel confident in that.
Sexually, do you think that you could entertain more than one woman?
No. You can't. You could slide off every once in a while, man. Everybody does, man. You know, anybody who ain't cheated ain't never been offered nothing they like. You know, I firmly believe that. But even then, right, you can't do that shit all the time. Even with one woman, you can't have sex all the time. If you go out, dude, I swear to you, I was getting it in till the fucking white meat. I swear to Bob. I had to stop. And this was only with one woman. So I can't even imagine trying to keep that pace up with more than one person. I had chaperone so bad, I had to stop.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
So you're not
all about sex.
Huh?
What'd
you say?
It's not all about sex.
No, I'm aware of that. But, again, even if everybody have their turn, the more women you have, the more likely it is that you're going to have that. Now, again, we are all in relationships that venture into intimacy, even when we don't know it, especially at work, because you're there with them longer than you with your family, and things develop. You start sharing things with them. You might not be piping them, but you are in an intimate relationship with them. You're telling them about your family. You're telling them shit that's going on in your marriage. You're telling them shit. You rubbing their shoulders and shit, giving them back. That shit is intimate, man. That's not,
yeah, working,
you know, you ain't having sex.
Where you work at?
Huh? Hey, listen.
Those things happen. I'm telling you, they do.
It happens in the office, man. You know?
It does. And most relationships are made at work.
Yeah. You know?
They are. They very much are.
Keeping more than one woman happy on that level, not an easy thing, man. Women ain't easy. You know, I don't agree. It don't have nothing to do with race neither, man. I'll tell you something. If you think you're gonna avoid some shit by dating white men or dating white women, you're wrong, and you're gonna find out the hard way that some shit is man shit. And you're not going to be able to avoid it, whether you date Asians or green people or whatever the fuck. And some shit is woman shit. You're not going to avoid it unless you want to play for the other team. And eventually you got to lay down. So you don't want that. So it's certain things with men and women that you're just going to have to eat.
I wonder, do they have gay polyamorous relationships? I got to look into that. I wonder if they have...
I mean, that's even a whole other level of stuff, man.
That's
but,
another.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. We're gonna get back to you. Hold that thought. We want to get back to you because I'm gonna bring you back in when we get to the next topics on this really quick. But I wanna just reiterate what's been going on because we got new people listening in, and we're talking about Lady Steele, you're better at this because I mess it up. Explain what we're discussing right now because we got new people listening in.
Oh, well, if you're just now tuning in, you are live with Anna Lorian, Mr. Haynes, and myself, Lady Steele, and we are discussing polygamy, polyandry, and polyamory. And we're just wondering, like, are there women that are okay with this? If there's anybody listening that is actually in one, I'd love for you to call in and kind of give us, you know, some enlightenment on it. But are there women that are down to be a part of a harem or a clique? I don't know what you would call it. Are there guys that are down for it? Can you maintain multiple women at the same time, both physically, mentally, and financially? And are there women that are, you know, open to entertaining multiple husbands? Are there guys open-minded enough to play second or equal to another man, but concentrating on one woman? So that's the topic we're discussing tonight.
Okay. Let's get to another caller really quick. Caller 501-804. You are on the air with the S&M show.
Hi. My name is Rosa. I actually was invited to listen to your show about 10 minutes ago, I guess because this person knows me. And I actually am a practicing polygynist. This is something that's been in my family.
Where are you calling from, first of all?
I'm actually calling from Arkansas, but I just relocated from Michigan, just in case my friend is listening, because they are the ones who told me to call in. But
okay.
I, can, I can't, because, well, they know that this is what I practice, and I'm glad to be listening in. Currently, I'm not involved in it because my husband unfortunately passed away, but we were married for 15 years. 8 of those years, I had a co-wife, second wife, whatever you want, whatever the terminology is. I had that. My husband was able to keep up with us. We had no problem as far as ego or any of those issues. I didn't have that issue. This is just something, it's normal. It's normal to me, not only from a sexual standpoint, but just from a aspect that I'm not superwoman. I realize that no woman is superwoman. I feel that it takes a lot to work outside the home. I'm a nurse. I practice, you know, that's my career. I work outside the home. It's hard to maintain your husband, your household, your job, your children, everything, and maintain this husband. It was also from a financial standpoint, pooling resources. Everyone who was in this marriage were all professionals. I was in the Air Force. He was an engineer. And our co-wife, she was an educator, but, you know, she wanted to stay home. There are a lot of professional people who practice polygyny, especially in the Black community. We just don't. Five wives or anything like that. Sexually, as far as me as a female, I can't say if it's something a lot of hetero women would be into, but I do believe that a lot of bisexual women do practice polygyny. Myself, I'm bisexual. I'm bisexual, and my co-wife was bisexual. I don't get off into the lesbian thing because I feel that I need that male energy. I feel that that's just natural to be with the male. I mean, I believe in procreation and motherhood and everything, and I can't do that with just a woman. But there are things with a woman I can't share with a man, even outside of the sexual aspect, because being in a polygynous marriage, sex is not the basis of your marriage. I do not like when people make polygynous sound as though we're people who are just out here sexually just rampant, and it's just all about sex, sex, sex. Our house is a hotbed of sex. That's not it. It's just part and parcel of being married. It's just part of it.
My condolences for your husband, but I had a question for you.
Sure.
When you first met him, were you already in, you know, in that mind state, or was that something that you guys discovered together?
No, as I said, this is something that has been practiced in my family all along. His family, we came from, like, the same type community, so he was practicing, or he was raised in polygyny as well. I did not get off into it, you know, as soon as I came of age. But when I decided to marry, yes, this is something that we knew that this was a possibility. We didn't get together saying, you know, oh, I can't wait to get another wife. That's not how it was. I was with my husband 7 years before we even brought in our co-wife, or however the terminology is. I don't get off into the terminology, but before we brought her in, we were together 7 years monogamously.
Okay. No, that part I think I completely get, and I think a lot of people kind of see it as a person that decides they're going to have multiple wives somehow acquires them all at the same time. That I pretty much, I know that would be some sort of process, some type of time that's going to go by. Now, were you and your co-wife, were you guys equal, or was it like a seniority thing because you were there first?
No, it was not a seniority thing. I don't, you know, I didn't feel that I was her senior or because I was there. Because once you start placing seniority or some kind of system like that, it kind of messes up the dynamics in the house, because then you're going to create tension with the person who came in second, feeling that, you know, they can't really say anything or do anything that might go against the grain. Mind you, yes, I have been with him, and this is the household we had set up prior to her getting there. But once she came in, she was still considered an equal. She had, you know, it's like with anything new, you just got to, you know, kind of feel your way around and, you know, see where you fit in. But I never, ever made her feel like she was less than me or she took second place to me. It was no bottom bitch thing in our situation. I do see that in a lot of people who practice, a lot of these conscious people, that's how they practice.
Yeah.
That's not the way
that we
practice.
They use fear as a tactic. Yeah.
That's not the way that we really practice. We probably practice more so like Mormons on the in the fact that, you know, everybody's an equal, but we don't belong to any religion or anything of that nature. But we just, everybody, me and her were treated as equals. I had the children in our relationship. I had the children. You know, she did not want to have children. So, but
she wanted to have children. Would that have been an issue?
No, it would not have been an issue. It would not have been an issue. Not at all. I would have loved if she would have had children, but that's not what she wanted. You know, every woman doesn't want to be a mother. So I didn't have a problem with that.
Okay, Carla, let me ask you a question. Do you have any daughters?
Oh, I have all daughters.
All right. Would you
be open? I have four daughters.
Oh, wow. Congrats. Would you be open for to your daughters practicing that same lifestyle?
Yes, I would be. My daughters have the choice to practice monogamously or polygynously. I do not advocate one way or the other because I live this lifestyle, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You know, it's just not. But if my daughters wanted to practice, I wouldn't be against it. And if they, you know, my oldest daughter will be 24 this year, and she's been in monogamous relationships. She's only been in two monogamous relationships, and it works fine for her. I don't question it. I don't ask her if this is something that you know, would not want to do later on in life or whatever. But that she doesn't practice polygyny. She's a monogamous person.
Okay, with children growing up in the household, or you say you came from that, how would that? How does, like, the parenting work? Like, you know, is it like you have multiple moms or the aunts or godmothers? Like, how does
it's,
that?
It's the same. I know it just sounds weird when, for me, because this is my life we're talking about. But
like,
I'm sorry.
And look at it from a monogamous, with a monogamous mindset, like, it's totally different.
Right. This is just what it is. I mean, yes, you know who your biological mother is, but the others are, they're like your mothers, like your stepmothers, just like you would, that's the only way I can present it to like a monogamous type person is that if you have parents and each one and your parents divorced and you have a subset of step-parents, you still treat them the same and equally, and you give them the respect that you would your bio parents. That's the only way I can describe it. I didn't feel that they were my aunts or godmothers. I looked at these women as my mothers. I had three other mothers in addition to my mother. My father had four wives, and I looked at them as my mother. I didn't look at them like an aunt. Like I said, I didn't look at them that way, and my children looked at my co-wives is their mother.
No, I could definitely understand that, and thank you very much, because a lot of our listeners online are, you know, they're saying that you're very informative, because this is something that a lot of, you know, it's tossed around kind of mainstream, but we're not really educated on it to know, like, the ins and the outs. So
I appreciate that. It's just that I always like to tell people about it, you know, if it does come up, that there are people, especially in the black community, that do practice it like the Mormons, but we're just not out there. We don't have neon lights and megaphones advertising, but we're out there, and it is it's done from what I say is a correct form, not like this is my girlfriend and I'm going to bring her in, this is my woman, or I have a woman over here and a woman over there. That's still practicing polygyny like black people, a lot of people in Hispanic and black community do. They'll have a woman over here, a woman over there, but nobody really knows, you know, or it's the syndrome of as long as he take care of his business at home. People are practicing this whether they want to, you know, believe it or not. You know, people are practicing it. I just happen to come from a family that practice it in an organized and decent construct.
Now,
yeah, I don't.
Really quick. I'm sorry. I just got one quick question. Now, you know, once again, my condolences, you know, on the passing of your husband. Do you still speak to the other woman? Are you guys still close?
Oh, yes. Yes. We have a very, very good relationship. No doubt about it. I love her. I love her. When I decided to come back stateside, she just decided, you know, not to. Had she came back, we probably would have still maintained our household, but understand, you know, if there was going to be a man, he would have had to understand that we're a package deal. So there are a lot of that too. I've seen widows, meaning if there's one or two or more wives, I've seen widows that stay together, and the man comes in and realizes that, you know, this is a package deal. It was no, you know, you're just going to date me and, you know, push her off to the side. You know, that would not have happened if she had decided to come back stateside. I just happened to come back stateside after his passing.
Now, are you going to get into another relationship like that? Or at this point in your life, you're like, I'm good. I'm okay. I don't need to go there.
Yeah, you know, either way would be fine. I would prefer, actually, I would prefer a polygynous union. In fact, you know, if I can find that again, I would. But if not, I would, for me, it would be settling for me to go monogamous. I don't think humans are made to be just solitary creatures. So, yes, if given the choice, I would be in a polygynous union. But if not, monogamy would suit me just fine.
I was gonna ask if it was the lifestyle that you really loved and enjoyed, or was it the person that you loved that much that the lifestyle kind of complemented? Because like I could see how it could be appealing, but I definitely can't see that, you know, with everybody. Like, there might be a guy or two that I think that I would love that much that, you know what, I wouldn't mind being a part of a organization because I love him that much. But
well, I mean, like you said, you have to, you know, love the people that you're in it with. It's not going to be for everybody. I might like someone, but they might not get along with my partner, you know, or vice versa. Rub somebody else the right way. It has to be a total functioning unit. I'm not into the polyamory thing, and I know that probably sounds crazy to me, to some people, but I believe in having a closed triad. I don't believe in open where everybody goes out and has their own partner. You know, I don't believe in that. For health and safety reasons and spiritual reasons, I just don't believe in practicing that way. I believe in closed triads, like I say, or quads or whatever you want to call it. That's what I believe in.
Okay.
Everybody does.
What's
have
on the line? I don't know if you, I mean, if you spoke with her because you just got the link recently, but we also have Anna Laurian on the line. And
I've never spoken.
She was telling us earlier about, you know, some clients that she had. As far as, you know, she used to be an intimacy coach.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've never even heard of this show until today. Someone inboxed me and said, hey, there's this show on, my friend is having this show, and I'd love for you to listen in, and, you know, if you could, you know, have some input, so I did.
We just
you really came in and just kind of said everything that I really kind of said earlier. I dealt with polyamorous and polygamy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never dealt with polyamory. I've dealt with friends who are polyamorous, and it just seems like a ball of confusion. It's just too much energy and everything exerted in every which way direction. You know, I'm sure there are some successful polyamorous unions,
mm-hmm.
because nobody is not a 100% blanket statement for anything and everybody, but from the people I've encountered, they just seem to be very scattered. You know, nobody, it's just, to me, it's just like free-form swinging. I don't even know what to call it, because people just bring in this person, bring in that person. If it doesn't work,
yeah.
they bring in another person. It's just, I just don't feel that that's safe. You know,
those are not the ones I deal with.
I just don't. But like I said, I believe in polygyny, where everybody is open with each other, but they're monogamous to that union. They're just monogamous to that union.
That's the position, yeah. I have one of my guys online. He has a question for you, actually. He wants to know, did you live in an area that was accepting of your lifestyle, and or did you run into any ignorance that kind of made your lifestyle difficult?
Well, we lived in Germany and in Michigan, you know, at different times, but I can't say that I ran into any ignorance per se. I mean, because people don't really get, okay, let me just put it this way. We know in certain neighborhoods, black neighborhoods or whatever, people don't really get into your business. I stayed in a primarily Hispanic and white neighborhood where I stayed. People don't really get into one another's business about who's living in the house or whatever, as long as you're keeping up your property and not bringing down the value of anybody else's house. There were some of our neighbors who did know, and we did not get any, you know, problem from that. My most problems came from, because I'm open about my life, my most problems came from people at work who I might have, you know, shared it with if they asked me, and they were more religious people, and actually there were more black people that were against this lifestyle, that were closed-minded. When I was in Germany, people are just, in Europe, are just more open and accepting,
I think so,
of certain things, period. So I can definitely say over there, they didn't give a rat's ass about what we were doing. But over here, you have the America is just so conservative regarding religion, you know. So I had my most closed-minded experiences here in America.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now,
well, thank you, Cole.
Did it affect them in any way?
Pardon me?
Did it affect your children in any way, or was it, like, not a thing?
No, my kids are normal for, you know, all intents and purposes. They have the same problems, you know, that other people have with their children going through teenage problems. But my kids are normal. My 24-year-old is a functioning working person, finishing college. My 19-year-old is going into her second year. I have a 9 and 14-year-old. The biggest thing with them is just fitting in, because we just moved in, you know, moved to a new area. But my kids never had a problem. It was always somebody at home. My kids didn't suffer from latchkey syndrome and, you know, all of that, you know, not having anybody at home. It was always somebody in the home for my kids, because, like I said, my co-wife, she wanted to be a stay-at-home person, but she was an educator who just left her field. So if anything, my kids kind of had a more structured upbringing, because they weren't allowed to have the freedom that a lot of children have from one or two parents working outside the home.
Okay, and I got one more question for you. Do you think shows like Sister Wives accurately portray the lifestyle, or do they create a perception of it?
No, I don't think they portray a good a good it doesn't portray us, period. Most of those shows are mainstream. Most of those shows are directed at a particular population. It does not depict everyone that practices polygyny in this country. It doesn't depict us at all. I would love to see representation of how we do it, because with them it's always from, you know, with religious views. There are people who are practicing, like I said, like me. I'm not religious, but I am spiritual, but religion wasn't the reason that we practice polygyny. I would love for it to see an accurate depiction of people who don't go from a religious standpoint.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you very much. It was very eye-opening, and I'd love to have you call in again and maybe stay on the line a little, because we're going to dig back into this.
Okay.
Well, we definitely
sure
want to get back to you. But thank you. Thank you for your call right now.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, let's get this. Let's going to wrap up this topic for right now. Before we go into any more, we want to wrap this up. And if you have been listening to the S&M show right now, I want to appreciate everybody, because this topic is something that we needed to bring up, because, you know, people have been talking about a lot of different things and cheating and everything. And I think that that last caller brought a lot of light to something that people have deemed ugly and deemed wrong. But the way she handled it and the way her relationship went, maybe some of you callers may now switch over to this life. But before we finish and before we wrap this one up, let me get our final thoughts on this. So, Lady Steele, with you first, I want you to give your final thoughts on this topic.
Well, I mean, based on the first half of what we discussed, I think, like you said, she opened a lot of eyes and answered a lot of questions that many people might have had. You know, it doesn't seem as something more sexual as it does, you know, maybe like as a contributing group effort to raising productive people in society. That's all I could see, like teamwork or whatever. But it doesn't sound like a bad idea. Like I said, I'm not closed off to it. It's not something I would go out of my way looking for. But the right guy come along, I might make an exception. I'm pretty sure, like, I could handle it. So definitely not against it.
Okay. And Anna, what are your final thoughts on this?
Polyamory, polygamy, I think that, like the caller said, it is for some people. Like, they really thrive in an open relationship where they can be open and honest about everything. Is it for me? No. I am very much monogamous, but, I mean, the people that it's for, it makes them happy, and who am I to say is wrong? Do your thing. Be happy.
I respect that. You know, for me, I don't think it's something that I could possibly do, not because I can't satisfy, not because I don't think I can financially hold it down enough. But I just think at some point it becomes a lot, especially me personally, I think with kids, it may send the wrong message. Now, for that caller, her kids, they turned out great, and I'm happy that they did. But I have a feeling that in me, if that was me with mine, they might do something crazy. They might never be able to be committed because I'm like, well, daddy was never in one person, so why should I? And if I have daughters,
that doesn't mean that you don't know how to commit. You are committed. You're just committed to a situation with multiple people.
Maybe. But then again, I'm also...
You're committed to getting all of your requirements met. Look at it that way. One person might not feel a certain requirement. Another person can feel that requirement in your relationship that you feel can, you know, where you can be successful.
Okay. That is definitely one way of putting it. But me, I won't lie, I have a biased, you know, opinion on things, because then I also feel like things like if I had daughters, I don't know if I could have that kind of relationship, because I don't know if I'd be comfortable with my daughters being in that kind of a relationship. I don't know if that would be fair. Now, I know, you know, it's not right, but that's just how I feel. But that's just my opinion on the subject. Now, we're going to take a few minutes. Lady Steele, are you ready with your Steele report for tonight?
Yes, sir. So we're going to break from polygamy real quick, and we're going to have the Steele report. Now, if any of you follow me on social media, such as Facebook or Twitter, you know that I'm dishing always on the latest news, gossip, and rumors, blind items, all that good stuff. So the Steele report is just a quick segment that we do where we run down the top headlines of the week, everything that's trending, and we kind of roundtable, ping it back and forth, take some calls on it. And then we return back to the regularly scheduled program. So, to kick everything off, what's been trending this week is the sex tape of Mimi Faust and Nico from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. Mimi and Nico recorded this tape and pre-sold it to Vivid. Vivid is going to be launching it in a few days. They have a countdown on the website, and it's reported that she's been paid $125,000 for the sex tape, which is like a few pennies if you ask me. You have a lot of people saying, well, most of you guys are doing it for free, and at least she's getting paid, but after taxes, that's really nothing. And for a woman that went on national TV to basically, like, dog another woman for a few years for being all kinds of whores and prostitutes, swore all up and down, she would never record herself having sex. It's kind of sad to see her, you know, wipe the egg on her face right now. But, hey, I guess if she loves it, I like it. But this is also the same company that paid Paris, Kim Kardashian, I think even China, you know, millions of dollars for their tape. So $125,000 is pretty sad.
I mean, it can be. But then again, the women that they paid that money to, those were technically people that had a bigger name than Mimi. And, I mean, besides Love & Hip Hop, have you ever heard of Mimi or Nico?
Did you hear about Kardashian before that tape?
That tape is what really, really springboarded who she is. But she was a name. She was around famous people.
She was around, but nobody knew her. She was playing. People barely realized that she was playing second fiddle to Paris and Nicole on The Simple Life. Like no, she was on the scene. And you could look back and see her on the scene now because you know who she is. But when she made that sex tape, nobody really knew her. Like, Ray J was the bigger star.
Well, there you go. You mentioned
The Teen Mom. You know Sarah Abrams? Really? Like, I don't follow that show. I only know of her because of the sex tape or whatever. And I think even she got more than $125,000.
For sure. Nobody.
Has a little clit dick. I think she got more than that. Have you ever seen China's sex tape with X-Pac?
Oh, no. Don't bring that up.
She got a little clit dick pierced. It was so awkward. But, I mean, yeah, this is pretty, that's like pennies. And I know, you know, if I had $125,000, there's a lot I could do with it right now, and I'm pretty sure all of us could. But for a sex tape that's going to live forever, that's very low. Very, very low.
Now, forget about just the numbers behind it. One thing that people brought up is her daughter. She's not like, you know, 2 or 3 years old. She's a student in school, and she's not like, you know, 16, 17, but kids are cool. Could you imagine some little boy saying, I saw your mom on a sex tape? What do you think is going to happen?
So let me ask you this. Do you think that Mimi making the sex tape that's going to live forever is more damaging to her children than leading a lifestyle of polygamy?
Ooh. No. I think the sex tape isn't going to be – that's here today, gone tomorrow. Even though that can live in infinity.
Oh, that's just forever.
No, I mean, here today, gone tomorrow, where, let's be honest here, that same Sarah sex tape, while it's out there, after the first wave of people talking about it or watching it, it's not something that's, yo, let's go watch that tape again. But if you're living that lifestyle day in and day out, day in and day out, that's not something that you just fade away from. That's the
difference. But I could always whip that sex tape out no matter what. Period. It doesn't matter. 2018, year 4000 from now, I can always find that sex tape in the archives. You'll only hear about what allegedly I was doing. If I even care to, like, mask it, like, that sex tape is always going to be there. There's no denying that. And
I believe that.
That's old enough. There's going to be that one person that's going to make sure they have a copy for them to view.
Well, I agree. There's going to be that one person that when years and years, when we're doing whatever it is to watch movies or whatever we're going to be on, by the time that these kids are old enough to really understand what they're watching. But the one thing that you're failing to realize is out of sight, out of mind, versus when you come home from school, there's mommy, mommy, oh, and then daddy. Every day. So when you go around your friends and you just see mommy and daddy or mommy or just daddy, you're going to look at them weird and different. Like, wait a minute, how come you only have one mommy and daddy, but I got two mommies?
And foster kids can say the same thing for the most part. That's not, I don't think that that's something that's too hard to really deal with, because I know myself, I grew up as a foster child, and technically I had two mothers, and I had a father sometimes I didn't. I always had a different mother or whatever the case may be, so that to me is not really that crazy of an issue to deal with.
Okay, understandable. Okay, well, what else has been going on in this Steele report?
We also have Ashanti. Ashanti had some performance on the Queen Latifah show, and it's been making its rounds on the internet. She's been getting dragged to hell and back for it. And I haven't seen a dragging like this in a while. Did you get a chance to check it out?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
What happened?
I'll let
what
you
happened,
take it in.
Tell us.
It was a hot mess. I don't even know where to begin.
It was that bad?
Yeah, and I don't think that she redeemed herself when she sung the national anthem either.
What was so bad about
it?
Honestly,
I didn't want to see her. Like, I didn't even want to see her sing the national anthem after watching Queen Latifah.
So wait, what was it? Was it a bad performance? Did she not hit the notes? Did she, like, fall? Did she pull Michelle Williams and fall? Tell me. I don't know. There's people out there like me that didn't see this or don't know what's going on. So what happened?
It was the whole performance. Honestly, the dance, oh, gosh. The dancing was horrible.
If you haven't seen it, just go online and pull it up. It's just
too
awkward to really, like, put into words.
Right.
Okay. All right.
It's horrible.
So for those out there who have not seen this Ashanti performance, please go online, YouTube it if you have to. What was it? She was on Wendy Williams? I mean, she was on Queen Latifah? All right. So if you have to, go on YouTube, Ashanti on Queen Latifah performance, and you'll see what debacle happened.
Shout out to MMG on Facebook. Thank you for rocking out with us tonight. This is Lady Steele. Say hello, Anna.
Hey.
They wanted to hear the Southern Belle's voice.
Okay.
That's funny.
We got Forbes released their top five wealthiest in hip-hop list, which is basically the same as it always is, with Diddy being number one, with an estimated net worth of $700 million. Dr. Dre, number two, $550 million. Jay-Z, number three, $520 million. Birdman, number four, with $160 million. And 50 Cent at number five with $140 million. This list is very much bullshit, I'm sure of, but it's whatever. I think it's very noteworthy to realize that on this list, only one of these people is really still busting their ass performing, which is old-ass Jay-Z. which leads me to believe he has a lot of shit that he needs to pay off, because there's no way. He just announced a tour with Beyonce. Like, both of them are just, there's no way in hell they love being on the road this much at all.
Well,
they definitely
hold
have gang skills.
Hold on. What you're also failing to realize is, for some people, like, they do it for the love. Like, you don't think, first of all, both Jay-Z and Beyonce. Hold on.
I'm telling you nothing about doing anything for the love of shit but money.
I understand that, but at the same time, he's not like some of these old-time people who have to tour in order for them the money to keep up, because they didn't write any of their songs and they don't get any real royalties. Jay-Z owns his masters on most of the songs, if not all of the songs that he's on. So right then and there, every time you see these spins, he's getting paid and everything. So it's not like he needs that money to tour. Yes, he may use the relevancy of the tour to help funnel other things.
He needs the tour to make money. Are you kidding me? His expenses are crazy. Did you forget that Anonymous hacked into all this shit and blew their whole spot up? Beyonce got expenses of like $300,000 a month. And then she stays getting sued and settling out of court. That adds up. Like, those $100 million deals dwindle down very quickly.
I agree. But at the same time, when you're, like you said, when those hundreds and thousands of dollars, that, like I said, that $300,000+, her last tour alone, four stops, boom, paid that off. Four stops.
Yeah.
On
that,
her
that
world
paid off
tour.
Her bills, that's not money that she's taking home. Like, the
yeah.
tour can gross as much as it's going to gross, but all that she grosses is not going in her pocket. Down to the person that's cleaning up the arenas for those tour stops is getting a piece of what that tour grossed. And people don't follow that web down, like, all the way to the very bottom to really understand how these people are getting paid. She's not taking a break for a reason.
Hmm. Now,
not like Sade, Maxwell. Those are two artists right there. They could take a break for 10 years and be good with no problem.
Now, here's a question about that same list. You said Diddy was number one at 7-something?
700 million,
and
yeah.
Dre is number two at 5-something. Jay-Z is number three at 5-something as well?
Yeah.
Now, you noticed a big drop from Jay-Z to Birdman, from 5-something to 1-something? Why is that?
Why not? I mean, Birdman is still doing pretty good. First off, like I said, the list is bullshit because Birdman's hiding a lot of money, I'm pretty sure. Birdman's doing a lot of things like on the side, like the publishing or whatever. I'm pretty sure Birdman has a lot more money than Forbes is reporting. Forbes is more a publicity tool than anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with that, I just want to know, you know, when you hear about these lists and you hear about that, that's what they're worth. That's not what they have.
Right.
Let's be clear about that. That's what these people are worth. It's not like they can go to the bank and then pull out $700-something million. That's just with everything that they have their name on and everything that they are into, this is what their money is coming out from it, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, because I wanted to bring that up. I just want to bring the last thing that you mentioned is you're saying Jay-Z's old ass, and you talked about how he has to tour, because like you said, he announced the tour with Beyonce. But what if it was because, just hear me out, what if it's because, as you see with a lot of couples that are both power players, their marriages usually fail because they are always busy, and this tour is a way for them to stay together.
I guess, if you like fairy tales.
I mean, think about it. If Jay-Z had a world tour and Beyonce had a world tour, right? And they launched their tours maybe a couple of months in between each other. When do you really find time to be with your significant other?
So they're touring, so they could get to sleep together once in a while. Okay.
I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. When you talk about all of these things and you say that, like, yo, he needs the money, or you think that it's something like he really has to do or she has to do, Why can't it possibly be, you know what, let's tour together. We have all these big hits that we've done together. You've got a plethora of number one songs. I've got a plethora of number one songs. Let's do it together. That way we can be together and not have to miss out on anything, and all these alleged mistresses and all this other shit could be put to rest, because guess what? We're together on the road.
You're very, very, very optimistic and hopeful. And I guess in my dreams, when I'm on tour with Neo, this is what happens in my head. Every leg of the tour, we sleep together at night and we fuck like monsters. So, yeah.
Okay. Any other news before we go into anything else?
Yeah, Columbus Short is now again in trouble. He's accused right now of threatening his wife with murder-suicide. And this comes like weeks or what was it, like a month ago, that he rocked somebody's jaw really bad too, because I saw the photos. Oh, my God. But she has a restraining order against him. And they recently just finished like putting on for the cameras after they were going to divorce. And then next thing you know, they were united front. But now she has a restraining order against him because she said he threatened to kill her and him at the same time. So I'm thinking it's quite possible he's going to end up getting written off of Scandal.
I do too. Mm-hmm. First off,
I was hoping he wasn't.
Well, if he doesn't get written off, I think they're going to change character.
Right.
They're going to change him. I mean, he's not a main staple on the show, and the show will go on quite fine if he's not on there. But I think there's something wrong there, because I did see that, and I was reading about it, and this was only the second reported. There were other incidents that they said happened. Like from that one, it was actually three or four physical altercations that happened. This one was just the final one where she's like, yo, if I don't get out of here, this is not, I'm going to be dead. And I'm confused as to why would you allow yourself to continuously be in that type of a situation?
Love is blind. You know, love makes you do crazy things, like go on world tours with your husband.
Okay.
I don't know.
And do you think, and with that being said, ladies, do you think this is the end of Columbus Short as you know him?
I doubt it. Somebody will give him a chance.
I don't know. I think it could. I'm feeling like I'm getting an Isaiah Washington vibe. Like, he could very well, like, be getting himself blackballed very soon. Depends.
I was just thinking that, because when you're a man, if you're a cheater, you always find your way back up. If you're a drug user or been in and out of jail, like Robert Downey Jr., you can find your way always back up. But if you're labeled a woman beater, it's very hard. Look at Chris Brown. No matter how much success that guy has and how much of a great performer he is and whatever, they always, always, always revert back to 2009. That
infamous day. Because he beat the wrong person, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's because he beat the wrong person. Because let's be honest, there's other people out there beating on people, i.e. Diddy or whatever, and they get a pass. People still drink rock.
But
yep.
Who? But who, and does it get out there? Because you said Diddy. To be honest with you, I haven't heard anything with Diddy beating on anybody.
Okay. He is, well, just in case, because, you know, Diddy got goons everywhere. I'm not trying to show up on his shit list somewhere, but, yeah.
I mean, females, because I know about Diddy and his hands on men and how he's done things, a la, you know, Steve Stout, and but let's be honest here. Like I said, for the Columbus Short thing, I think that's going to be a tough situation to sell, because, bam, you're going to fuck with the wrong thing, and now you're labeled a woman beater. And once you're labeled a woman beater, it's really, really hard to get that fixed. Not even Olivia Pope could fix that. Yes, pun intended. So
well,
I don't know.
Well, it's too mainstream of a show, and it's on a mainstream network like ABC. So his actions privately, they do have to reflect like a certain repertoire, and that's why I'm I'm thinking that after, especially because the incidents are so close together, so I'm thinking after that last brawl, he had to have been warned or told something, and then for this to come out now, it's just not looking too good on him. But I think I'm going to use that or leave it at that and wrap up the Steele report and kind of dive back into our topic of the night. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so we're back with polygamy. And since we, you know, brushed on it before when we were talking about Mimi and the sex tape, I want to kind of go into that a little bit because you're thinking the sex tape thing is worse than leading a lifestyle of polygamy.
I do.
And I don't see it. I don't see how that's more harmful. Or I should say, I don't see how polygamy is more harmful.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's get into it really quick. And I'll break it down for anybody out there that's listening. And before I even go further, if you want to chime in, because, you know, we're going to get, I'm going to say some real raw stuff. And if you have some rebuttal and you want to call in, please call in at 347-857-4302. Once again, that's 347-857-4302. Now, my viewpoint on that is this. As a man, when you grow up, or I should say as a kid, when you grow up, what you see in your house, what your interactions are what you're used to or what you're taught or what you get to, what you understand to be. It goes to another thing like, is racism taught or is it something you do? Or is it something that's innately inside of you? And I believe that racism is something that's taught because you put a black and a white kid in the woods with nobody around, they don't ever know that they would never know that they don't like each other unless somebody teaches them not to like each other. So when you take that same theory and you put it towards being in a relationship, a monogamous relationship or a polygamy type relationship, what you're displaying for the kids is that this is normal. We have three or more people living together, cohabitating together and raising me as a child together.
So making a sex tape is normal?
To be honest with you, it's more normal than that. More people have sex tapes than there are polygamy.
Do you have a sex tape?
Huh?
Do you have a sex tape?
No, I don't, but I would like to. I would so like to if it's going to get me all of the fame, yeah, and I'm going to make sure that I do the best sex tape ever. But I can guarantee
and
this much.
And be okay with you. You don't mind having a sex tape, putting on your best performance ever, and handing it to your son or daughter as they get older.
I have two boys. I would hand it to them and say, learn it,
like
love
you
it,
got boys.
Use it. Yep. But I also say this. At the end of the day, I would rather my sons make 100 sex tapes than even be in one polygamy type relationship.
So would you rather, if you had a daughter, would you rather her be Montana Fishburne getting pumped by Brian Pumper?
Than be in a polygamy relationship? Yep. Yep.
Wow.
I'm like, yo.
Wow.
You do that. You have your fun on that tape. You make your money and get that shit out of your system. You're done? Good. Boom. Let's move on past this situation. I don't want you in no relationship where you have to share a man with another female or females, because then you have this notion that that's what you normally do, and it's okay for him to have sex and be loving with other people, and it's okay for you to do these things. I don't like that. That shit ain't for me. I wouldn't want my daughter doing that. I wouldn't want my son doing that. Now, if they made a sex tape, hey, you were having sex with one person. Was it protected? Yes. Did you enjoy it? Yeah. Guess what? Now the world just saw what you enjoyed to do. Fine. Get it out your system and move on with your life.
There's no moving on with your life once you have a sex tape out there. What about you, Anna? Like, would you make a sex tape? Have you?
Yes, I have. Would I put it out there? No. I mean, like, I've made personals with my boyfriend, but no. I wouldn't do a public sex tape. No way.
Well, who kept the tape when you made it?
Who has it? My
mm-hmm.
boyfriend.
Okay. And you guys are still together now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, you're not worried about what might happen if things go sour?
No.
Okay. Okay. That's good enough. I'm not. Now, Lady Steele,
you know,
what about
all
you?
Guys are not the same. All guys are not the same.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
You know, after,
oh, I agree.
I'm saying after a relationship ends, a lot of guys, they do see their egos hurt, but all guys aren't bitter. I don't. We were friends before, and. Yeah. No, I don't think.
I agree. But so then here's the question that she asked. Would you rather, let's say if you had a daughter or son, would you rather your daughter or son have a sex tape or be in a polygamy?
I would rather them practice polygamy.
Oh, God.
Honestly. See, the thing about a sex tape is it doesn't just affect you. Now, with polygamy, that's in your household. Honestly, a lot of polygamous couples don't live together. So, like, the children may not even know that there's another mother or wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's at the discretion of the parents. Yeah, a lot of them are collective, you know, like group parents and everything, but it's different forms of, I guess there's different ways that people practice polygamy.
Okay.
Some people don't
even
live in the same area, but yet they practice polygamy, polyamory. So, yeah.
I agree, because I've definitely made a tape. I've definitely had it put out there. He wasn't too happy when things went south, so it did get out there. But thank God it was like MySpace days, where everything like WorldStar wasn't around, because I was able to get it scrubbed. But I've definitely had that happen. And you know what? If it got out there, I wouldn't intentionally put it out there unless I'm like 35 and I'm not where I want to be, then fuck it. Hey, whatever. But other than that, no, I'd rather my kids practice polygamy as well, because that's a sound decision and a sound choice that they're making. It's not like a pimp is coming and you know, trying to round her up and get her involved and into something that she doesn't want to be a part of. This would be something that she would know that it works for her. It might not work for me, but it works for her or him.
Mm. Okay. All right, well, look. Let's get to some of these callers really quick, and I want to get some other people's feedback on this. First call I want to get to is caller 832-352. You are on the air with the S&M show.
Hey, what's up, everyone? What's up? This is
what's going on, caller? No. All right. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Keza, Untamable Success. I'm calling from Houston right now. And
hey, Keza.
Hi, Anna. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hi. How you doing, Alex? Hi, everyone. And I'd just like to give a shout-out to Rosa for calling in and giving the real up and up on polygamy itself, basically a foundation. I actually inboxed her because she's my friend, been for years.
Thank you.
And I wanted, you know, her to give that strong input that she knows for sure. Because she knows for sure what polygamy is, and she's been in it. So I wanted to really give a shout-out to her, and I made sure that she hear this topic or just and put her input in, you know, if she wanted to, and she did.
Shout-out to you for directing her to us, because she definitely answered a lot of questions that we had.
Yeah, that was very, very beautiful that she did. I'm glad she came up on and blessed the show with her mindset. She's
you're one of our more open-minded listeners. How do you feel on the subject?
I'm I'm non-monogamous, straight up. I don't agree with monogamous relationships, so I think they're full of, I think they need to be banned, actually. That's what I've always said. because a lot of families were built pretty strong in the days of, you know, in the black communities of, you know, I mean, you want to say Africa or even in the Caribbean somewhat, you know, a lot of families were built upon polygamy relationships as far as, like, when she answered the question about, is that, how do you feel about having another woman, the other women as your mother and second mother or stepmother and so forth? Well, see, that's like people in the areas of the village, you know, the village mothers. They might not be your biological mother, but they are your mother because they somewhat nurture you into some type of, life form and type of wisdom and knowledge and health. So that's what a mother does. So in all aspects, polygamy has a lot of benefits to it, you know, not just sex, like a lot of these people out here today do it, you know, polyamorous and so forth. But polygamy is much more structured setting of basically respecting rules and foundations.
Are you okay or opposed to polyandry? Like, could you be one of several husbands that one woman shares?
I could. I actually could. I have no doubt in my mind I could. I could do that, you know, and, I mean, because me, I'm always one with the equal balancing. So if I'm one, it's like threesomes. If my woman can agree with me having threesomes with her and another woman, and her desires is to have a threesome with me and another man, I would do that. So me, I don't have the problem with being the second husband to a wife that has an already first husband. I mean, that's your role. I mean, you're either gonna like it or don't. So I mean, some people's life can handle it. Some people can't. It's not for everyone. Everything is mental, and basically, you know, me being very spiritual and very mental, I can handle that.
In that same scenario where you have a woman that has multiple husbands, assuming, because this is a question that was asked, would she bear children for each one of the guys? And assuming that she's pregnant, is she now obligated to only have intercourse with the child's father, or does she have to maintain her duties to all of the husbands?
She's not obligated to do anything, but, you know, that's up to her. That's up to her. I mean, if she wants to bear children with the other men, I mean, that's up to her and the other men, you know.
That doesn't make sense,
You can't just force her to have children with yourself, you know. I mean, she didn't already have children with her first husband, so if she wished to have children with me or the third husband, that's fine. If she don't,
but how do you
that's
know?
Fine too.
But how would you know? If you and the other dude and other dude and the other dude is all going in at the same time, how do you know who the baby is going to belong to? You going to be up on Maury? I'm going to be up on Maury like, which one of my husbands is my baby daddy?
No, man.
Baby daddy.
That's polyamory.
We're getting away from structure. See, polyamory is not just something that's just straight upon just something about sex. It's got some guidelines to it. So you have to go by the guidelines to it. I mean, it's a respectable manner for people that really are in in tune to the lifestyle of that, of being a part of that. You know, not everyone can just say, yeah, I'm, you know, one day just come up and be like, yeah, I'm going to get into polyandry, you know. You know, a woman just say, yeah, I want multiple husbands, and, you know.
See, I don't think I could, you know, while I might be receptive to the idea of sharing a husband, I don't think that I could entertain the idea of having multiple husbands, though.
That's a lot of work. You know how many dicks you got to suck? Shit. That's a lot. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of dicks you got to suck. Your pussy molds is going to be worn out after a while. You're going to be like, look, by the time you get down to your third one, you're going to be like, how about you just rub it on me and just let me go to sleep? You're not going to want to do all of that.
Well, I was thinking along the lines of I can't focus on loving multiple people at the same time, but having sharing a guy, I could focus on loving him, and then whatever he has with the rest of them is that.
I think that's the one thing that he don't understand is, like, he's looking at it totally from a monogamous mindset and point of view. And so if his wife had another boyfriend, or, you know, it would be cheating, or if he had another, you know, girlfriend, it would be cheating. But when you're in a polyamorous or it's nothing like that, you don't have sex with the, like, he doesn't have sex with the wife and the girlfriend on the same day. Like, it may
happen. So they're both horny at the same time.
But it doesn't work like that. Like, it's really structured. Like, it's everyone knows what everyone else is doing. Like,
right.
Everyone else is feeling.
No one should be cheating at all. No one.
No, no
one
is cheating.
No behind the door sex.
Hold on.
You know, whatever. You know, you bring your second wife. You bring your girlfriend along. We meet.
Hold on.
Hey.
Hold on. Hold on.
Everything is open.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on 1 second. And I'm going to have to say this. I'm sorry. You guys are telling me about structure. You guys are telling me about rules, regulations, and how things should be, and how, you know, this, that, and the third. But answer me this question. When you're in that, your natural feeling of being horny, are you going to say, oh, wait, no, it is Tuesday, so guess what? John has to be with her right now, so I can't get John right now. But if you're horny, you are horny. So it doesn't make, that's not the, it, at some point, somebody's
okay.
going to go,
so it's called playing your
if
role.
If I'm horny and my boyfriend is at work, I'm going to go cheat? No, I'm going to masturbate or do something. Like, it's
exactly.
Other ways that you can pleasure yourself. It's not purely about sex. That's what I'm trying to get to you. It's not all about sex. These polyamorous relationships are not about sex at all.
Yeah, because there's a lot of mental conditioning that has to take place to even get you to the point where you want to be involved in a relationship like that.
Exactly.
And it's really about playing your role. I think nowadays, especially nowadays, a lot of people do not know how to play their roles. Now, nature is nature. There are going to be days where all of us are going to be horny. There are going to be days where none of us are horny. But you play your role. You understand that if he's with wife A today, it's not your day. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be horny. It doesn't mean that you go out and cheat. You go take yourself to the room and rub one out, and you continue with life. Or you save it and build up that aggression until it's your time with him.
So it is. What if your day isn't until day six, and it's day one? You're like, wait, I got to wait 5 more days? And I can physically see this person. See, when you're talking about your boyfriend being
like
at work and
like
you're horny
though.
At home. Hold on. When you're talking about your boyfriend being at work and you're at home and you're horny, that's different because he's not physically there. So you can't do anything until he gets home. So when you're horny and you're built up, all you're saying is, wait till you get home. I'm going to fuck your brains out. That's how horny I am. But if he's physically right there in front of you, you're going to be like, yo, at some point, some part of you may start to feel like, damn. The prize is right there, and I can't touch it? Damn, that's got to suck. That's got to suck. You can even
physically
avoid
it. But it's not that you can't touch it. It's not that you can't touch it.
You can't touch it at that moment.
No. See, you don't. If you spent a day with a polyamorous couple, you would understand. But you, like, you're looking at it from a point of view where you're not even allowing it to be anything else in that relationship. If he's there and he's spending time with his girlfriend and his wife is there, she respects their relationship enough to where she'll rub one out, or else she'll call one of her boyfriends if she has one. Like, it's not purely about sex, but a lot of times it doesn't even get to that point. Does that make sense? Like, they respect. It's more about respect than jealousy or, you know, horniness or nature. Like, we're all adults here. We can control ourselves. You don't have to have sex if you get that urge. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. I get that point about it. And I even understand about respecting and boundaries. But I am talking human nature here. At some point, if you're having a group, like, all right, for example, if you, as a female, if you have a guy that you're dating or the guy that you're with, if the sex with that person is at a 10, you're not going to want to go anywhere else. You're not going to want anything else but that 10 that that guy gives you all the time. So when you're sitting there and you're saying, like you said, it's mental. It's not always about that physical. But when you're horny, it's more physical than it is mental, because you want something to be stimulated physically. Because if not, he can talk to you on the phone while he's chilling with this girl or doing whatever, and it stimulates you mentally. But if it's that physical that you're actually, your body is wanting that person's body, what do you do in that moment when you can't have it and somebody else is getting it?
Pleasure yourself. I can't answer that any other way. Like, there's plenty of things you can do. Hell, you can go run. You can go exercise. You can go do some yoga. You can go and anything. Like, it doesn't have to boil down to, I got to have sex with him right now. If your mate is out of town, like, if my boyfriend was out of town for a week and I'm horny on day one, you mean to tell me that, you know, like, I can't see him for a few more days, so what am I going to do? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing.
That's out of soul, but no, it's not, because it's out of sight, out of mind. You can't have your mate, like I said, if he's gone, if he went out, if he had to go away for a week for business, and you're horny the first night he's gone, that's different, because you can't physically touch him because he's in another place. But
how often do you have sex in a week?
I don't even know that. That's a.
Oh yeah, because you're married, so that's like what, one, two.
No, it depends. I'm still in the beginning, so but I'm young married, so it's more
y'all still newlywed.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, it's more like, yo, it's still the same. So it's not like it's no real difference. Weekly, 10, 15 times. But because I sleep with this woman, I'm in the bed with her. If she's not there, if she went away, that's different. And I'm horny, I'm like, okay, like you guys said, I can rub one off. But if she's in the bed or she's in the next room and I'm horny and I can't touch that, there's a problem. That's a problem. And for
but
some
you're
women,
looking at it
from a
monogamous mindset. You're looking at it from a monogamous mindset. It's not about that, honestly. And I really can't explain it another way, because, like, I can't change the way that you view things. But it honestly, people in polygamous relationships, like polygamous marriages and polyamorous relationships, they do not view that the same way.
Yeah, because
like, that's the only way I can say it.
Everything is looked at as a collective. It's not the me show. It's not the her show. It's the us show. So collectively, you're all trying to make this situation work, and you understand your bounds, your rules, and your things that are in place. You understand your roles. You understand your system. You understand your structure. You understand not to try to change anything in your infrastructure in the first place. So it really is about mental conditioning. If If you mm-hmm. cannot, if the only thing that you could think of is, well, when I'm horny, I need to get it now, period. And you know what? Maybe you would be able to, you know, have a polygamous relationship like that where you you spoke to the guy or the chick beforehand and let them know that sexually you're very demanding and no matter who else you bring in here, whenever I need it, I need it. And maybe that's something that y'all could work, but that would be a part of what you would lay down. You know, you can't agree to something that you know you can't deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely, you have to play your role. You have to understand what your role is and stick to it. If you are a freaking supporting actress, do not try to be the star of the show. Play your role. Make a great production together. The minute you try to take the lead, you're going to fuck shit up.
That's usually the way it goes. Like, everyone knows what they are contributing to that relationship. Like, the relationship between the girlfriend and the wife or the girlfriend and the husband is totally different, you know, and the relationship between the husband and the wife is different than what the husband has with his girlfriend. Like, it's different. It's just totally a different mindset. Everything is different.
I agree. Do you understand now?
I get a better understanding, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to feel like I said, yo, anybody out there, they understand my thoughts. They feel like, yo, I don't care. That's why they say those type of relationships are an acquired taste. You have to be 100% understanding about what's going to go on, or else it's never going to work. And I do believe that that's why it's not more practiced, because at the end, when a lot of women say, you know what, I think I can handle it, put them in that same situation where they want what they want, or let's just say they come in and they're having a bad mood, but the other girl or the other two girls and the guy, they're all happy and kee-hee and laughing it up, and they come in and all they want is that man to just, you know,
I think it's not more practice because people are scared of judgment.
It's a stigma attached to it, right?
Yeah, because, you know, let's say the female that decides she wants to lead a lifestyle like that and have, you know, sister wives or co-wives, whatever you want to call it, you know, most people go, oh, you have daddy issues, or, oh, you have low self-esteem, and, you know, all types of negative things. But why can't it be like, you know what, this is what makes me happy? There's, like, a whole, like, list, you know, like, you're being used, he don't love you, no man in his right mind would need multiple wives if he loved you and blah, blah, but, you know, people have different needs. People have different wants. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not harmful to me. I think it's not practiced more because people are scared of those labels and those judgments.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely because there's a stigma attached to it. I mean, the way people found out about me is basically through word of mouth. I felt like if I had come out here and say, I help people in open relationships, like, I would be ostracized in the community. Like, it's illegal to sell sex toys here. Anything shaped like a penis, it's illegal to sell that in Mississippi. So, I mean, of course they're not going to be open to people having more than one wife. I mean, they don't even want to serve gays here. They just passed a law where you can't serve, you know, gays if you don't want to. I feel like there's discrimination. So here is really backwards, and I know a lot of people who practice it, they don't tell anyone. I mean, their mom and dad and sisters don't even know that they practice it. But it makes them happy. But it's definitely because it's a stigma attached to it.
Yep, I definitely agree. Although that might bother me. I definitely, if there are parents involved, I would have to meet their parents.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, look, we're getting to the end of the show for tonight. And I really want to thank all of the callers that called in tonight, and those especially the woman who called in who's in that relationship lifestyle for a long time. We really do appreciate you calling in. Everybody else who called in and chimed in, whether you did it on social media or you chimed in on the phone. Once again, we always appreciate everybody, the love and the support that we get from the S&M show. I definitely would like to thank our co-hosts for coming on tonight. You did a great job once again. But before we wrap it up, we want to just give everybody their time to talk about what they've got going on, what they're going to be doing next, and, you know, where they can find you again so that those out there can really do that. So first, without further ado, our co-hosts, I would like to give you the time, the floor first.
Well, I'm Anna. Like you said, I'm a matchmaker and love coach. You can find me on Facebook. My name is Anna Lorien, A-N-A-L-O-R-I-A-N. I'm Matchmaker Anna on Instagram. I think I'm Matchmaker Anna on Tumblr. I'm Matchmaker Anna everywhere. MatchmakerAnna.com. I work nationwide, so if you need some help in the love department, I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
And yours truly, Lady Steele. You can hit me on Twitter at Lady Steele. That's LadySteele. On Instagram at Official Lady Steele. Tumblr, I am Lady Steele. I'm pretty sure just plug in Lady Steele and I'll pop up wherever that may be. Also, like the S&M Show fan page on Facebook. Facebook.com/sexy, the letter N, D, mature, sexy and mature. You could like us to stay in tune, get archive links to shows, drop topic submissions, submit music, drops, and see what we have coming up, as well as check out the Rants of Steel group page on Facebook so you can stay in tune with all the latest gossip and news. And finally, once again, I invite you, if you're in the tri-state area or can get to New York City on Saturday, I will be hosting an event at Murray Bar with Raheem from Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Rock Logic, and Grand Pooba. We'll have Bel Air Rosé in the building, SX Tequila, Grand Touring Vodka, Platinum E Hookah, Click Vodka, and Ludacris Soul headphones. Will be giving away bottles and merchandise all night long. So Murray Bar, 34th Street. I look forward to seeing a few of you come out.
Thank you. Once again, thank you. And as always, I am Mr. Haynes, and if you're looking for me, you can find me on Twitter at I am Mr. Haynes. And you can also find me on Instagram at Mr. Haynes to you. Now, we always like people to chime in, and if you have anything, please feel free to hit us up on our fan page, like Lady Steele said, on Facebook. You can find us everywhere, or you can email us at snm69@gmail.com if you're looking to be a guest host, if you have topics you want us to discuss, or you just want to send us some fan mail. We are trying to get back to people and see what they're talking about as well. Once again, we want to thank everybody that listened into the show. If you are still listening, we would like to say thank you once again for showing us the love and support as we are trying to grow this show. The show is getting bigger, and we're loving all of the support that we have been getting thus far, and we want to continue to get this love. So if you want to, please like our fan page, comment on our fan page, especially on the fan page on Facebook, so that we can find out more news and see what other topics we can discuss on this show. Now, with that being said, is there any final thoughts that anybody wants to say before we end this show?
Tune in next week. We'll be going ladies' night next week. We're talking about the volatile relationships between lesbians and the LGBT community. So that should be awesome. We have two co-hosts that will be chiming in and discussing the topic with us. So make sure that you keep it locked for that.
Definitely. Keep it locked. And once again, thank you for everybody out there that's been listening to the S&M show. Once again, we appreciate the love. Next week's show, I guarantee, will be definitely something you want to tune into as well. With that being said, Thank you, Lady Steele. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for all of the listeners and people who called in. Please, have a safe night until next week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.